But I believe that the Lord wants to increase our faith. And faith is like the bridge that helps us to get from the natural, normal world that we live in to that supernatural place. That's what bridges accomplish. I grew up in an area, Sand Springs, Oklahoma, and there, right through the middle of the city, is the Arkansas River. And I went across that big bridge that would go across almost every day, because the bus would take us across the river to go to the schools. And I lived about probably, I don't know, half a mile from the Arkansas River. It's a big, wide river with a lot of sand. Thus, the town is named Sand Springs. But I don't think much about it, because I just grew up around that bridge, going across that bridge. But when I was about 10 years old, we went on a family vacation to Colorado. And we came up to a bridge that is an unbelievable bridge. It's called the Royal Gorge. It goes over. It's a suspension bridge. Some of you, how many of you have been there to that suspension? I know that the schoolies have. There is a suspension bridge that's 1,250 feet above, and that Arkansas River is right down there in the bottom of that gorge. And it's 1,250 feet up there. And I was 10 years old, my next brother was 8, and my baby brother was 6. And when we, now I don't know if you can drive across that bridge anymore. I don't know, can you? You cannot? You can or you can't? I know that I've heard, but I know that then, this would have been a long time ago, mid-60s, you could drive across that bridge. And so my dad drove across the bridge, and I don't remember any of it because myself and my two brothers were in the back seat floorboard. We were scared to death of that bridge. We saw that bridge and we saw that gorge, but we knew the only way to get over there was to go on that big suspension bridge. You know, faith is like a bridge, because we have to go from the normal everyday world that we live in, and we have to make to get where we want to be spiritually. They have to have the faith to cross to that place, that spiritual place. This chapter 17 of Matthew is really interesting, because the first part of the chapter is talking about the transfiguration of Christ, and you know the story, the experience that Peter, James, and John had as they were on top of that mountain of transfiguration. And the Bible says that Jesus was glorified and transfigured, and his face shone, it glowed with the glory of the Lord upon him. And Moses and Elias showed up too. And they all had a big conversation. It says they were all there talking together. You talk about a mountaintop experience. Peter, James, and John are having one. I mean, they're in the presence of the Lord, and these great men of God, these great prophets have appeared, and it's just glory. As a matter of fact, it's so glorious that Peter, James, and John said, let's build 3 tabernacles up here. Let's stay here. Let's live here. This is so wonderful. Let's just live here in this glorious experience. But what we're going to read in the next part of the chapter is that they couldn't stay up there. They had to come down, and they had to face the reality of the day-to-day experience. We've all had spiritual highs, haven't we? We've had revivals, and we've had times when things have been wonderful and glorious and almost beyond words. But then we have to walk out and face the daily struggle. So they come down from the mountain. This is where we're going to read here. They came down from the mountain, and from that glorious experience, verse 14, it says, this is Matthew 7:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. But Jesus answered and said, now listen to this rebuke. This is Jesus rebuking his own disciples. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Basically, he's saying, how long am I going to put up with you? How long am I going to be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We'll stop reading right there. So they come down from the mountain and they have to face up to the world and the struggles of this world. We are physical. We are created in these physical bodies, but yet we are also, we have the capacity for spiritual things and to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be spiritual beings. But sometimes it's hard for us to bridge the natural and the spiritual. And I believe the only way that we can is through an increase of our faith. Our faith needs to grow. If you want to get from where you are to where you want to be in the things of God, it's going to require some faith. Amen. Now, we all came to the Lord. We all have a measure of faith. We have every man is given enough faith to get saved. Every man is given a measure of faith, the capacity to know God, to get saved, and to start off in this journey of faith. But from that point on, it's a challenge, and it is our calling to grow in faith, to walk by faith, to learn more about the Lord, and to live out the days of our life getting stronger, building up ourselves in our most holy faith. Amen. I want to get stronger. I want to be able to move. I have to live. You know, I have to do all the things that you have to do. We all have, you know, we have to take care of the natural, physical things as far as this world is concerned. We live in this world, but we also are to be a spiritual people. And if we're to experience real revival, revival is when we have this great hunger and desire for spiritual things, and we're willing to step out and to move forward and to see God beginning to help us to grow our faith. So if you want to experience greater things in the realm of the Spirit, you want to get closer to God, if you want to experience the gifts of the Spirit and the blessing of the Lord in your life, it's going to require a growth of faith, a growth of your faith in your life. And that requires some doing. It requires some intentional doing. You have to purpose in your heart that you want to move forward. Now, let's look a little bit about at this encounter that they had, that this man brings his boy to Jesus and describes his condition. He is a lunatic. The word literally comes from the word lunar. He was swooning. He was apparently not only physically sick, but he was mentally sick. He was struggling. And then this influence that was in his life was trying to destroy him, because it would throw him in the water and throw him in the fire. And it was obvious that the disciples did not know what was going on. Their faith, they were still down here. I mean, even Peter, James, and John, they had been up there on the mountain, but they're already back down on the natural level already. And when they come face to face with this spiritual struggle, this spiritual encounter, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to encounter the situation. They said, I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. What a sad, sad indictment against the people of God that people would say, I came to the church, but I couldn't get help. I came to the church, but it was just business as usual. Nothing really all that much going on. No move of God, no work of the Spirit of God. May that never be the testimony of you and me here at this location, that we would be living and walking in the Spirit and experiencing the power of the Spirit in our life so that we know what's going on and we know how to deal even with the attacks of the enemy. Amen. People are coming. They come to church. If you want a lot of visitors from out there in the world to come to church, it's not going to be always a real pretty picture. People's lives are messed up. Many times they're under the control of the devil and demonic forces. They are being controlled by the things of this world. And the only way we can do anything about it, we can't rehabilitate people. We can't just pat on them and love them, although we should. But really the thing that they need is they need to experience a church that has the power of God in our life. We have an anointing. We have the power of the Spirit of God. We've somehow bridged the gap from the natural to the spiritual. And the only way you can do that is to be a person of faith. Amen. I often find myself in need. Find myself in the natural and needing spiritual help and needing a touch of God and needing to be able to move in faith to see God work in the realm of the supernatural. God's power working in my life. You need that too. And only faith. Now the problem here was unbelief. Unbelief can stop everything in its tracks. Even Jesus said, Jesus could do no great works in his hometown because of their unbelief. Somehow, unbelief has the power to even hijack what God is wanting to do. That doesn't mean the enemy has more power. It just simply means that in an atmosphere of unbelief, God won't work. He won't work. He works. That's the reason why he rebuked these disciples the way that he did. He rebuked them because they were faithless and perverse. The word perverse means reversed, or they were mixed up. Apparently, listening to their own natural arguments and looking at the situation from a natural perspective instead of a spiritual perspective, people have needs, and their needs are spiritual in nature. Amen. Now, we can give people food if they're hungry, and I think we should. We should reach out to people and minister to them. We can't meet all of their physical needs because, really, the root of the problem that they have is they are bound by the enemy. They need the Lord in their life. And we have to be a people of faith that are able to bridge the gap and to experience the work of the Spirit of God to see them brought to the place that they can experience God's blessing. And so if you're in unbelief, you're not going to make any progress. You're going to be stopped dead right where you are. There'll be no spiritual progress, and there'll be no real revival among us unless we increase and strengthen our faith. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, these disciples, at least, they were concerned enough about the situation that they go to Jesus and they say, we don't understand what is going on. Why couldn't we do something about this? Now, I know that Jesus had already rebuked them, but at least they're asking the right question. What is going on? Why couldn't we do this? We need to ask that same question. Why is there not supernatural power? Why do we not see miracles and deliverances and healings? And I believe that we do from time to time, but it needs to be that we're experiencing God's power manifested right here in our lives, in our services on a regular basis, that we see the mighty hand of God being revealed. They ask the right questions. We need to ask the right questions too. Lord, why? We desire your power to rest upon our lives, to ask the Lord. You know, you have not because you ask not. If you ask the Lord to increase your faith, that one man did, he said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. He admitted it. I'm struggling believing, and help my unbelief. Increase my faith. Help me to see the situation and to put my confidence in you. Amen. So if you want to increase your faith, you need to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to increase my faith? Ask the Lord. Amen. If a father, what's the scripture say? If a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Ghost? He will give to you his power, and he'll increase your faith if you ask him. Another thing about this growing of our faith is to realize it's just that. He said, your faith is like a seed. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. We need to understand that faith, it grows. Faith is not something that just happens overnight. Faith is something that grows and develops in our experience with the Lord. And we need to expect that. We need to believe that God can work in your life. You ask him for greater faith, and then you understand that he works in your life in a process of growing and developing and experimenting in the things of the Spirit of God, you see God helping you to grow. Amen. And then he says, in this situation here, he said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This was a situation, this was a very big problem, a great situation, a demonic situation. And he said, you're going to have to, this is a bigger problem, so you're going to have to deepen your walk with the Lord. You're going to have to dig in a little deeper. Anybody who determines they're going to pray and fast is a person that recognizes that they are not up for the task. They're not sufficient for the challenge. They need something greater from the Lord. And Jesus said, this is a situation that requires that you dig deeper. If you want great faith, then you're going to have to dig deeper. You're going to have to get closer, draw closer, press in a greater way to the things of the Lord and allow the Lord to increase your faith. This young boy was under the control or the influence of this demon power, and this demon wanted to destroy this young man. That's what he wanted to do. He'd affected his mind, his ability to understand and to reason. He affected him physically. He was sore vexed, it says. It affected him to try to bring about his destruction by throwing him in the water, throwing him in the fire. This is the work of the enemy working against the lives of people. Why do you think that suicide is so out of control today? It is demon-inspired. Why do you think that young people are harming themselves and cutting themselves today? It is demonically inspired. A lot of things that people are doing in these last days, it is the devil himself. It is demonic forces, and the only way we can have the faith to counter it is we got to press in. We got to ask the Lord for greater faith. We have to believe God to help us in our problem of unbelief, and to trust the Lord to strengthen our faith. Amen. And to make that passage from the natural to the spiritual. Amen. Cross the bridge by faith. Let me tell you another bridge story. A couple years ago when I went to Africa, to Sierra Leone, when we got off the plane and come out of the airport, there were several in the group. I forget how many, eight maybe, that was a part of our group. And so they had more than one vehicle. And Brother Roy and a couple of others got in the vehicle with Brother Bakri. And Brother Bakri had hired a driver. And we found out later, this guy was just a hired driver. He wasn't a Christian at all. And I happened to wind up in his car, along with Floyd Turner and another one of the brothers. We were in his car. He's playing music that, to the top. I mean, it's out, it's loud. I didn't know what in the world they were saying, but I knew it wasn't godly music. I could tell that. He was stopping along the roadway in these little dark places, and the people were coming out to the car, and I was getting so nervous. And I don't get nervous. And then when we got to the, our cars had to go drive onto a ferry to get across over to the city. And the last ferry was leaving as we pulled in, and Brother Bakri and Brother Roy and all the, they made it on, and we didn't make it. And so when we finally got a hold of them on the phone, they said, there's no more ferries tonight. You're going to have to go the long way around. It's a 3-hour drive around. And so we knew we had to do it. And this guy was driving like crazy, like Jehu. He drove, and he drove through dark. We were in the bush. He was driving through dark streets and some places where it was just downright frightening. Where we went, finally we came to a bridge. The bridge was narrow. And I wasn't all that afraid, but we went halfway out across this bridge, and a vehicle was coming. It's a single-lane bridge. And so the driver stopped, put his car in reverse, and backed all the way back off of this bridge. I didn't know till later on when Brother Bakri told me that the week before, some folks from England were there, and they had crossed that bridge. The same thing happened. And when they tried to back off the bridge, they literally backed off, and the car fell in the ravine. I don't know how far it was, but it killed some of the people that fell off of that bridge. And I'm thinking, okay, thanks, Brother Bakri, for taking good care of me. And so every time that I see him, I say, well, thanks so much that you took good care of us on the road that night when we finally got there. Oh, Brother Jarvis, that was an accident. We didn't want that to happen. Bridges are important. If you want to get to where you want to be from where you are, you got to cross the bridge of faith. Your faith has to be strengthened. It has to be increased. And when you do, you can enter into the realm of the things of the Spirit of God, and greater things than you could ever imagine can take place as God uses you and blesses you. Amen. So your faith can be increased as you ask God for greater faith. Your faith can be increased as you develop and grow, just like that seed grows. Little by little, you get stronger and stronger in your faith. By the way, if you're going to get stronger in faith, you have to be a person that reads the Bible and, you know, receives the truth into your heart and into your mind. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, all the promises of God, all of the principles of life and eternity and everything that we hear and that we know about the plan of God, we learn it from God's word. And we have no excuse in these days for not letting the word of God get a hold of our lives. Amen. I'm just going to show you what I do every morning. And just for your... this is... What I do is I go through about 6 chapters every morning.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter,
he
James,
reads it to
and John,
me.
His brother,
don't he sound great?
And bringeth them up into an high mountain apart.
He reads it to me, and I read it while. I don't know for you. I know when I hear it, it really has an impact on me. I could read it, but when I read it and I hear it being read, it has a double impact upon me. So do that. Do that. Let it get down in your soul and in your spirit. Amen. Read the word of the Lord. Your faith will get stronger. And then not only read it, but obey the word of the Lord. James chapter 1. We should obey God's word. Amen. Obey the word of the Lord. James chapter 1. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So don't just listen to it. Don't just read it, but obey it. Listen to it and ask the Lord, What do you want me to do? How can I take action in obedience to your word? Amen. And then put it to the test. Amen. That's what you have to do. I don't know if you've ever thought of this before. If you ever fly in an airplane, somebody flew that airplane the very first time when it was new. That guy was a brave soul. He was brave. It had never been tried out before. And for some of you here tonight, there are things you've never done for God. There are things that you've never experienced. You've never stepped out in some ways for God. But God wants you to hear his word. He wants you to obey his word. And he wants you to put it to the test and do what God is asking you to do. Amen.